and welcome to my next podcast. This week the focus is on shelters, but I also want to have a look at the ethos and boundaries that I'm using to guide how I prepare for the year and how I hope to live. But first of all, catch up on what I've been doing since I last spoke to you. It's actually been 2 weeks since the last podcast because I've discovered how much work it is to make a podcast. Apparently you can't just talk, you have to prepare. Otherwise your marvellous son who does your editing has a lot of work to do. So I will keep doing them regularly, but they're going to be when I can, especially while I'm still at work. So I've been doing lots more preparing deer skin. That's been cleaning them up, making bark solutions for the leathers, and doing the whole process of getting a deer skin into buckskin. So I've been doing a lot of softening of skins, and that's given me a really sore finger, which is probably to do with my age. It's likely a bit of osteoarthritis coming on in my fingers. So I've been putting comfrey root poultice on the finger, hoping that's going to help it heal up. And I've been adapting my techniques so that I'm using more of my arms and body rather than my fingers. I think I'm going to make a podcast quite soon about all this deer skin prep, because it's quite massive, because it's all of my clothes, all of my bedding, my shoes and so on. So there's a lot of going on with that. I've been continuing my diet experiments. So I did 3 weeks of keto and then went back onto carbs. But I felt really, really sluggish being back on carbs. So I've now switched back onto keto again. And I started to have a bit of a theory that eating carbs over the winter, because you've stored them from the autumn, mostly nuts and seeds, that having that kind of sluggishness people tend to get from eating carbs, it doesn't matter in the winter. We're less active. It's too cold and soggy to do too much stuff out and about. The days are short, so we are spending a lot more time being around a fire, sleeping. So actually having the carbs then really fits in. Anyway, that's my theory, and probably it's someone else's theory already. I've also been continuing fermenting the wild greens. So lots of them going into storage. And I'm really super excited to have progressed my shelter in my garden. So you might remember I've got two shelters, one at home in the garden and my main one at the wood. So the home one is like a half dome of hazel sticks that have been bent over to make a structure. And then I was really lucky this week because somebody cut down their Leylandii in their garden, which gives loads of really brushy, leafy, kind of coniferous branches. And the owner was really happy for me to take the branches away. So I had a good couple of days of working out by carrying these branches to my car. And then luckily had some helpers, thanks Pete and Sam, carry them from the car into the garden. So I've used the branches to thatch the shelter, and hopefully there's nearly enough thatch on there. Now I have to wait for some heavy rain to test it. If you want to see photos of the shelter, go and check out the Wooden Ways blog website, where there'll be some pictures uploaded. The link in the blog description. So the next thing for me to do for my home shelter is to make some panels which will close off the open side as and when I want to, but often I'll keep it open sided because I'll have a small fire just outside for cooking. I also need to build a bed which will also act as a bench to sit on inside, and that's going to be made out of logs and brushwood, which will give it a sort of springiness and keep me off the cold ground, and that's going to have a felt topper. There's been a little bit of progression at the main shelter of the wood as well. So I've been adding rings of willow to the roof, and that's going to be what I tie my thatch onto when the grass is long enough. For tying, I'm using lime bast. So bast is another name for the inner bark of a tree. And lime is one of our native trees, a Tilia species of tree. It's not lime as in lemon and lime. And to make a usable material from the bark of a lime, you remove the bark from a tree shoot, soak the bark in some water for a few weeks. This is in the summer. And the bacteria breaks up the bonds between laminates in the bark. So they come apart and you end up, when you take it out of the water and give it a good clean, it's like raffia. It's a flexible, long material. So really good for making string and rope, but also used in the past for making outer clothing like hats, rain capes, shoes, bags. So I've been collecting that each summer for the last couple of years, and I'll get some more early this summer because it's such a useful material. Also at the main shelter, the wattle, below wattle for the walls is drying. So in the next couple of weeks, hopefully we'll be getting the clay daub on. I've also made a rawhide window. So rawhide is skin which has had the flesh and fat removed from the inside, the hair from the outside, and that's it. So when it's wet, it's really flexible like skin is, but when it's dry, it goes hard and opaque. So dog chews are often rawhide, drum skins, often rawhide. So I won't be able to see through the window, but it will let light in because my main shelter is going to be completely enclosed. It's for when it's the coldest months of the year, when I want to spend more time sleeping and snuggled by a fire. I intend to build a clay wood burner inside, like a pizza oven, with a clay chimney. I don't want an open fire in there. I'm concerned about long-term smoke inhalation. So now I want to have a chat about the rules and boundaries I've set myself for the year. So as you probably know, I'm aiming to live off what the land offers. So generally not farmed things. So I'm not planting a garden to live off of. I'm aiming to eat wild foraged food, but also have wild materials for my equipment and clothing. So for example, digging clay, firing it in a wood fire to make pottery, for vessels for eating, cooking, water carrying. Another example is collecting and processing barks and grasses and other natural fibres for mats, basketry, clothing. And once I start my year on the summer solstice, I aim for all of my equipment to be made from gathered materials. So at that point, I won't have metal tools. I can't make metal tools myself from raw materials. So I'll be using mainly flint, bone and wood for my tools. Although remember, fire is a really useful tool as well. But while I'm preparing, I am using metal and I am using machines. Partly familiarity, but also to speed up the processes. If I do everything while I prepare with stone tools and not having a car to get to the resources, it's going to take me a lot longer. And I may never do it. So I'd rather compromise and use the tools, use the machines to get ready. And once I'm there, I'll be fully immersed in doing everything with the tools that I've made myself. There are some exceptions though that I'm allowing myself. So I'm getting wool from a friend's sheep, which I'm using to make felt for clothing, some of my clothing and some of my bedding. Now, in a natural wild landscape, there are often animals with a wool coat or woolly inner coat, and that was accessible to people when they hunted these animals. Now in the UK, that's not possible. There aren't wild animals of this nature. So to replace this resource, I'm using the wool that's been gifted to me from this small herd. Another exception is honey. So my honey is coming from my own two colonies of bees. Again, in an undisturbed natural landscape, people were taking honey from wild colonies. But there are a few wild colonies in the UK today, and it's really unethical taking honey from a wild colony unless you live in a landscape where that's sustainable, because it breaks up a colony completely to get to the honey. Modern small-scale beekeeping doesn't destroy the colony and is generally kinder to the bees. So I'll be taking some honey from my bees. I won't go overboard, because in a wild landscape you wouldn't have tons of honey. And finally, my exception will be eggs. So eggs, super nutritious, but you can't go taking eggs from wild bird nests. So I'll be replacing wild bird eggs with chicken eggs, but I have to earn my chicken eggs by seeing nests in nesting season and having the ability to have got to those nests. So I'm not actually going to go up to them, but I'll replicate by climbing a tree to the equivalent height, if it's in a tree, of that nest, and then getting myself eggs for supper. So apart from these exceptions, I aim for all my food, clothing, equipment to be made from wild and gathered materials. So the next week or two, I hopefully begin daubing the walls of my main shelter in the wood, and I hope to build the bed and outside panels for my garden shelter. I'll be processing more skins. I need to get at least a couple of weeks done while I'm still at work. Once I finish work in about 4 weeks' time, I'll have to up the skin processing, because you need so many, like a pair of trousers, 6 roe deer skins, and each skin takes, 20 hours to make? So, yeah, a lot of work there. Continue with the fermentation, getting my winter greens stored. The last few weeks, I've been feeling really driven and focused, getting ready. It's possibly a benefit of mild ADHD to have something that I feel so passionate about to really focus on. But on the other hand, I'm aware that I'm undoubtedly naive and I'm going to have quite a shock when I actually start. So while I look forward to just being on the land and being really immersed in nature, I'm aware that I'm going to have some challenges in a way I can't imagine. But that's in 10 weeks' time that begins. For now, with 10 weeks to go, just focusing on getting ready, enjoying the luxuries of the modern world, appreciating them. But yeah, really excited and looking forward to getting there. I will see you, speak to you next time.